The Lyric Concert with Paul Herriot.
It was 1990s Ireland, and that is very important to our story.
We got up as Les McGeoch were singing, and there was an audible gasp from the audience.
Gloria, Dublin's lesbian and gay choir.
And you can feel that when you're standing on stage. It was like this collective. Because it was so unusual.
Homosexuality had just been legalised in 1993. Irish people had grown up with this whole idea that being gay meant being illegal, being wrong.
We deliberately changed the tagline to Dublin's Lesbian and Gay Choir so people would have to say it, because people used to just say Gloria and wouldn't say Dublin's Lesbian and Gay Choir.
It was a time when saying that you were gay, that just wasn't something that was common, and it wasn't really accepted at all. It was something that wasn't even discussed. It was just very, very hush-hush under the carpet and don't talk about it.
It was a political statement without making a political statement. So you were there and you were standing and were saying, we're Dublin's Lesbian and Gay Choir and we're doing this concert and we're here, and it's presenting a positive image of the community, I suppose, as well as obviously, hopefully, entertaining people with our singing.
Can you imagine how groundbreaking that was? This new choir going out into public and starting to perform. Each of the members looking out into that audience, knowing that they're being judged. Sometimes audience members just got up, walked out. But the Gloria members would stay on stage and would gather their courage and sing together.
I know for people in rural communities, for us to do that, it was a really good way of actually starting the discussion, you know, and saying, well, yeah, there's all those people, they're all lesbian and gay. And for them to be able to even bring their families. And again, you see, it's still a problem because people wouldn't like to be seen as just... But it was still a forum, and I suppose all you could do is sort of try to do that and try to provide that space for people.
Pauline joined the choir over 20 years ago. Today she's on lunch break in Dublin, walking around the grounds of Christchurch Cathedral.
It's very, active area. You can hear the traffic and it's very busy, I suppose, in the heart of Dublin City. It's a huge tourist attraction here. You know, we get an awful lot of tourists. You know, and there you can just hear the bells there of Christchurch.
For Pauline, growing up, there was no map for being a gay person in Ireland. There was nothing to learn from, and like, she couldn't ask questions. There was no one there she could talk to about it.
Lesbian? I actually didn't know you could be a lesbian. I didn't even know what the word meant. Do you know what I mean? Which I know sounds completely ridiculous now, but I didn't, because there was nothing there. Like, there was no visibility. You didn't have the internet. You didn't have books. You didn't have anything like that. So even the word, and then all the shame around that word and not being able to use the word, and it's really hard to explain now that because it is like such a different society. It's a completely different thing.
And it was only through travelling and going to Germany and England and experiencing London, meeting people there who are gay and lesbian, that Pauline began to get some confidence and feel ready to come out.
But it took me a long time. It was a long struggle for me to even name what I was. I just didn't have the words to talk about it.
When Gloria go on stage these days, there's no big gasp. It's no big deal that they're a lesbian and gay choir. But it's not no deal at all. It's still of significance. And that's because acceptance and support, it's not totally widespread.
We still do have a lot of sort of mental health issues and all of that to deal with. And as a choir, we've been sort of unfortunate in that two of our members, two young men who committed suicide within a reasonably short space of each other. And so that's been very challenging for the choir, and it's something we're very conscious of as well, I suppose, as a choir. So although we're now in an equal society, you still have the issues for people You still have homophobia in schools. You still have all of that stuff, the bullying, particularly for young people. So although you have equality, it takes a long time to actually deal with some of the issues as a society that we have to deal with so that people are growing up in a healthy environment, do you know, and have a very healthy self-image.
Across the River Liffey, Emmett Jordan Kelly is grabbing a cup of coffee before rehearsal. Emmett is a tenor with Gloria and he's one of the younger members.
This is an outhouse here on Capel Street. It's a community centre for the LGBT community. Will we head in? Yeah, so this is a public cafe actually, and a drop-in service. There's some meeting rooms and some community groups work out of here, or they volunteer out of here as well.
The casual atmosphere in here is striking. There's a notice board beside some comfy chairs. It has all the activities listed that are run here for the LGBT community: a transgender support group, a youth support group, a drama group. It looks like there's something happening here every night of the week. Upstairs is the library.
Like, you can see here, there's some poetry in relation to gay identities. You've got queer literature. There's some information here about LGBT partnerships or marriages.
All of the books in here, they're specifically curated for the LGBT community. All this information and support so freely and openly available in this lovely room with high ceilings and plush seats and couches.
This is a particularly interesting bookshelf, isn't it? Because you've got the kind of LGBT spirituality kind of piece, which is something that's interesting. A queer spiritual spaces, that caught my eye when he came in and I thought I'd love that.
And it's just so striking, having come from talking to Pauline, the contrast between the kind of Ireland that Emmett has been growing up in as opposed to what Pauline experienced. Emmett joined the Gloria Choir 5 years ago.
I'm actually non-stop singing. Even if I'm not aware of it, I'm singing away. It's a real expression of joy, I suppose. And maybe sometimes we connect through music as well, you know. Well, obviously that's the experience of someone that sings in a choir. If you were singing away, sure, I'd tune in and we'd have a bit of crack.
There's a freedom and openness about Emmett, especially when he casually says that there was no big fuss when he decided to come out. He was just 13.
I didn't have a big coming out story or anything, you know. I just said to my folks, you know, I'm gay. And they went, oh yeah, that was it. Yeah. Now there was also some really negative aspects of the journey. And there was some resistance and, you know, need for me to be resilient. But on the whole, the people that mattered, my family and my friends, were very supportive.
So it wasn't groundbreaking news. Or if it was, nobody let on. But even with the support of family and friends, being able to join a specifically lesbian and gay choir does still have meaning for Emmett, especially when he got involved in the campaign for gay marriage in 2015.
Gloria's purpose is that it's a safe space for our singers, you know, for our members. And in that time of the referendum, any gay person in the country, I think, would tell you that it was a challenging time.
It must have been nerve-wracking, not knowing what reaction you might get on the doorstep.
There were some people that just said, no, my views are my own. Like, thanks very much, I'm okay. Like, and I respect those people for the civility of their response, but it is hard because, like, we're talking about my personal life. It's all well and good for the country at large to debate, can gay people be married? But when you talk about my personal life and I'm standing in front of you at your doorstep and you're telling me, no, thank you, that's an unusual experience, you know, and it's not something I would ever care to repeat, nor is it, I think, something that is good for anyone. But it was tough, and I mean, obviously the result was fabulous, so we were delighted, but it was hard.
So getting to the Gloria rehearsal became like this anchor in the chaos.
And to be with other Gloria members once a week at that time was a real place of safety, you know. And we would go, are you okay? Like, are you all right? How are you holding up? God, that was tough. Did you hear that interview? That was really hard. So it's just about, we related to each other and we all understood that experience.
It was like a safe harbour. And that's just like what Pauline was saying about the early days of the choir, when the difficult task of coming out in front of an audience was made so much easier by the fact that they could do it together. Fellow choir members who understood each other. It's 6:30 now, and Dublin streets are teeming with people. Swept up in that crowd is Rachel Matthews McKay. She's an alto with Gloria, and she's just after finishing work for the evening.
I leave Trinity, I come through Trinity Gates and up Dame Street. It doesn't matter what kind of a day I've had. And sometimes, you know, you have a bad day and you're like, or you're tired and, oh, I could get on the bus like any one of these people on the street. No, I'll go to choir, I'll probably cheer up, and I usually do. The music generally lifts you. The minute we start warming up, you know, you're in a different zone. You've left work and you're in your time.
It's a tight squeeze on Dame Street because everybody is going home at the same time. Rachel slides past briefcases and hen parties, but she has a good reason to be in a hurry. It's not just for the music. She's also going to see her fiancé, Jane.
She stands 4 people up from me. We've just got somebody new who's blocking my view.
Rachel and Jane's relationship began on a weekend away with the choir.
And on the way home, she was driving me home and kind of went, would you like to go on a date? And she, you know, we did, and I suppose it just sprung from there. Just last November we got engaged and our families have been really happy and we've had quite a few celebrations and parties and it's been amazing.
Onto Eustace Street, up the stairs of Friends Meeting House and into the cacophony. Hugging, laughter, banter. Emmett's in the middle of a gaggle of men and women waving over to friends to come and join in.
We're like a box of hens, certainly. Yeah. Well, it's just like, you know, when it's loads of clucking and carrying on and loads of hugs, loads of squeals. To a new member coming in, it might be like a bit of a shock to the system to see so many open, out and proud gay men and women sharing aspects of their lives. And that can be maybe a bit of a shock at first until you realise everyone's just being themselves. And this is a safe space for us to do that.
Ian Packham is Gloria's conductor and gentle encourager of order.
Get the show on the road. Is the sopranos on?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
he's making sure that everyone is helping out with getting the room set up for rehearsal. The family-style grumbling that ensues just adds to the warmth of the room. Rachel has grabbed 2 chairs, smiling.
And this is Jane, my girlfriend and fiancé.
Yeah, I've been in the choir about 9 or 10 years now, so we're starting. Yeah.
And now it begins.
So, sopranos, you're sitting up nice and straight. You're breathing in now because you're all here in unison.
And it's like a silent agreement that the music requires respect. Because everybody stops talking and they're all listening to Ian. Everybody wants to get this right. They sing through each bar of the music, over and over, again and again.
We're getting ready to come in here.
Pauline is looking to Ian for a cue.
Oh. We've missed our cue. Because, see, we come in just over the turn of the page, so it's like we're sort of waiting to be brought in, and then he has to stop and start again.
There's a blur of movement, and 2 ladies sneak past us, laden with tins of biscuits.
The sopranos are on tea, so they've gone out to make the tea. The sopranos are on tea, so they've gone out to make the tea.
Lorna and Rosie from the Sopranos have disappeared into the kitchen.
We've got some double chocolate mini muffins and some caramel bars and some Cadbury's fingers and of course the homemade cake from Karen, and we have some ginger nut cookies in a box here, I believe. Yes, we do.
So every week we take it in turn, so sopranos are on this week, so everyone's in for a big treat because the sopranos
nobody are... does tea like the sopranos do tea.
But why tea?
This is exactly why we come here every week. It's just to have that, you know, bit of crack and fun.
Supportive too, because, you know, people are having good days or bad days or whatever. And you know when you're here, you're with your buddies. And while people may not come straight out and say, oh, I'm having a problem or whatever, there is the general concept of being supported and being befriended as well. So it's this part of the rehearsal is really important.
The kitchen door bursts open.
You can see now the Malay has started. It's going to get louder.
A big queue for the tea. Everyone chatting in little groups.
Cup on tea. A very weak cup on tea. Thank you, Damien. Put an extra bag in for me.
Did you have some of the Karen and Catherine baked Swedish biscuits? Yeah, the ginger nuts are gorgeous. What do they like them?
What do they do?
Oh, lovely.
Rachel, Pauline and Emmett are catching up alongside their fellow choir members, Walt and Barry.
So when we come out here, we kind of let loose. It's like we're all kind of chatterboxes and catch up on the week's gossip and, you know.
There's an awful lot of socialising to be done in a small space of time. Because soon enough, we'll be told, they'll flash the lights and thump the top of the counter and tell us to get back in. And of course, during rehearsals, we never talk. Ever,
oh,
do
no,
we, Barry?
No.
Never. Not at all.
Gloria started out in a small room in 1995, 25 nervous members, and Elaine was one of them.
We were all so petrified that when the musical director pointed at the group of us and said, now if you could all sing, we all mimed at the one time and all you could hear were step dancers leaping around next door.
There was often a small audience when they travelled around Ireland in those early days, singing as Dublin's lesbian and gay choir.
And a lot of times in the very beginning, you would notice that there would be, you know, people who would have come out and be quite nervous to come to a choir that was advertised as a gay choir. And they might be just kind of sitting rather sheepishly halfway down in the audience. We noticed then as time went on, more and more people would come along and they would sit more towards the front. And people felt more comfortable coming out to our concerts and we felt more comfortable singing as a gay choir in public.
They bravely persisted, gaining strength from one another. It was a gift to those in the audience who had not yet come out and might have felt that they never would be able to.
To be in a choir singing a gorgeous piece of music with all those crushing notes, like you're in the instrument, you're in the belly of the beast, you know, and it feels good on every level.
And what it all comes down to is music, that common bond. Something that becomes even greater when created together and shared. Gloria, Dublin's lesbian and gay choir, said almost like a mantra the full title always so that no one can shy away or deny or just say Gloria and brush the lesbian and gay part aside.
What I'm feeling when I sing Somewhere Over the Rainbow is that, like, ultimately, it's a story about longing to be somewhere better or to be somewhere that we belong more. Like, I'm in Gloria, belonging to Gloria, and I'm in Ireland, belonging in Ireland, where Ireland has, you know, fully supported my rights as a citizen and Gloria fully supports me as an individual. Like, that song makes sense to me when we sing it.
For me, it's an absolute joy and it feels like home, really.
They're out and proud and strong and loud.
You've been listening to Sing, a celebration of the power of community and making music together. Sing is funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee and is a Grey Heron Media production for RTE Lyric FM. Sing is presented and produced by Mary MacDonald. Gail Henry was the commissioning editor for RTE Lyric FM. Choir rehearsal and performance recordings were made by Dermot McIntyre and Daniel Clancy. The series was directed by Dermot McIntyre.
Check out our website at rte.ie/lyricfm/concerts.